Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, psychic, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio television talk show personality. She brings to the airwaves talented people from around the world who share their insights and experiences with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Now, this is going to be taking us in a little bit of a different direction today because we're actually going to be talking about dog power, yes. And for those of you that are regular listeners to the show, you know I have a passion for our four-pawed friends. And it is just a delight because through the magic of technology, we are going to be talking with a woman that has put out a book called Telsa, The True Story of a Dog's Extraordinary Healing Powers. Rosemary Stevenson is my guest, and she is in Bedale in North Yorkshire, England. So dog lovers abound all over the globe, and I want to welcome to the airwaves Rosemary Stevenson. Rosemary, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for asking me. It's lovely to be here.
Rosemary, you're a woman that really has some very interesting areas of experience and knowledge. One is that you're a sacred sound teacher and healer and practitioner, and you were the founder and teacher of a particular area of expertise called the Crescendo Reiki of Sacred Sound Healing System. You have trained with Diana Cooper. And you really enjoy sharing your knowledge with other people about the value of sounds. And this is an area that I just think is marvelous because there's so much scientific research behind it, and it can make such a difference in people's lives. However, you have this wonderful book you've put out about this dog, Telsa, and I just thought it was absolutely delightful. And you have in it, you also have some beautiful poems, some of which I will share. Now, this is a boxer. You don't hear much about boxers. You don't, if you watch the dog shows that come on once a year, then that Westminster and some others, that's one of the times you see boxers. But I have not seen boxers for years. There's some neighbors of mine that, to my surprise, they have two boxers, and they're gorgeous. Now, they're a golden brown color, but your Telsa was black and white, beautiful markings. Tell us a little bit about why it was so important for you to put down Telsa's story.
Well, I'd had Telsa for nearly 11 years, and a lot of she came into our lives, my son and I, when things were really, we were really struggling. A past relationship had broken down, and Telsa came into our lives, and she changed our lives. And as she grew older, to my amazement, I found that she was healing people and other dogs as she grew older in her life. And she worked with me so well, and she was a part of my healing team. She was the other part of my healing team. And we worked so well together that when she eventually passed away, it was just devastating for me. And I felt all the wonderful work that she'd done while she was here, I felt I had to acknowledge that and also let other people see and feel how much our dogs and other animals too can do for us and how much they're doing without us even knowing what they're doing. So I felt that she deserved some acknowledgement, so it just felt the right thing to do.
You were raised around animals. You were born at Birch Tree Farm in Cheshire, England, and I loved your stories about the pigs and your sisters and all of these wonderful, wonderful memories that you shared about living on a farm. And I think so many people can relate to them, because no matter who you are, no matter what part of the world you live in, when you're on a farm, you develop very special relationships with animals. And at that time, you had a golden Staffordshire bull terrier named Spot, and he was called the singing dog. Mm-hmm. And there was a hen named Clara, and she was pretty bossy. Even my husband's family has a story about a rooster. I mean, it's just amazing, the wonderful stories about animals that you share right in the beginning. And when you get this mischievous puppy, that's the title of the chapter, where you start talking about Telsa. You talk about how you and your son, in 1998, August the 12th, go to see Telsa. She's a group, you know, in this group of puppies. She did what I've experienced personally. She chose your son. Tell us how that was done. Tell us what she did, because she's just a puppy.
Yes. Well, how we came to get Telsa, Joe, my son, had been pestering me for ages, and I was trying to hold down a job. We'd got a new house, and I thought it was just another difficult job to do at the moment. But eventually I gave in, and we went to see these puppies that he'd found close to us, fairly close to us in the north. And we went one day to the farm in Middleton in Teesdale, where they'd just got one puppy left. They told us they had one puppy left because she'd been taken to a home, but they'd got her back because the owner's circumstances had changed. So we were able to go and look at this puppy, but what they did was bring three puppies in the room when we got there. The house was very lived in, you can imagine, with all those dogs. They first sent the family, the uncles and aunties and parents of Telsa in, who bounded right into the room, and we realized then what sort of dog we were taking on. And then they brought the three puppies in, and we didn't know at this time which one was Telsa. And this puppy just scratched onto Joe's leg and tried to get her feet up onto his knee, and he pulled her onto his knee, and we found out that that was the puppy that we were going to have. So it was wonderful that Telsa had chosen Joe.
Now, she wasn't one of these quiet little dogs, and boy, having had a terrier, I can relate to exactly what you're talking about. You will have such personalities with your animals, and some of them will be sort of laid back, and others, they're like little warriors, and they're going to be into everything. They're going to test everything. They are going to explore everything. And Telsa, you found, had a tremendous amount of focus. But I'll tell you what, I laughed when I came to the part where you were talking about locking yourself out of your house, and how Telsa said, "Come on in through the doggy door." Now, Telsa wasn't a little bitty dog. She's a boxer. They're a pretty good size. But by golly, she showed you how you could get into the house. Share that story.
Yes, I'd gone to the shops one morning and left Telsa in, as usual, so that she got the run of the house apart from the downstairs rooms, which I closed. And after I'd gone through the door, I hadn't realized at the time, but as I'd gone through the door, I'd left the key inside the house. So when I came back, of course, I couldn't get in. And Telsa was jumping up at the window and the door, wondering why I wasn't going in. And my son was at college, so I couldn't get a key off him. So I decided the only thing to do was climb over the garage from the front, on the wall, over to the garage, and get down to the back garden on the other side. And I was hoping that nobody could see me, none of the neighbors, otherwise they'd be wondering whatever was going on, thinking we'd got burglars. Anyway, I got over the other side, and Telsa was jumping up at me. She was so pleased to see me, and she went into the through the dog flap and came out of them and went back in, and she was trying to make me come in and follow her. So I thought, well, I've no choice. I'll try and do it. So I squeezed an arm in, and then my head, and then the other arm, and then I pulled my body through. But I was quite a bit slimmer in those days, so it was a bit easier than it would have been now. I thought, you know, I got inside the house with Telsa. She was so glad to see me. She was licking me while I was trying to get through. And I thought, this is going to be terrible if we ever have burglars. They would never, you know, she would never bark or anything. She'd welcome the burglars in, so she wouldn't be a very good guard dog. That's what we were thinking at the time.
Boy, can I relate, because I had one of those dogs myself. They'd sit down, and it's almost like our little Scotty would say, excuse me, do you have prime rib? Or is it top sirloin you're going to give me? Let me know, then you can come in. I mean, it's unbelievable, the differences in dogs, but she knew you. Now, there was another story that you had, and it enabled you to recognize her talent for dealing with individuals, but this one in the beginning was relating to another dog. And the dog's name was Benny. He was a terrier German Shepherd mix, which is quite a powerful combination. And he was owned by a man that was not a pleasant personality. The guy's name was Jim. And tell us what Telsa did with Benny that just shocked Jim. And actually, it had a big effect on him as a person, enabling him to go into a shift of his own.
Okay. Well, this particular day, well, before that, we'd always walked down the fields, and we'd always seen Jim and Benny, and he was well known for being the angry man with the angry dog. So most people thought it was a shame, but most people kept away from him. And I used to let Telsa off the lead normally, but when Jim and Benny were around, I did put her on the lead because I was really fearful of Benny jumping out and pulling his owner over, who was well in his 70s by this time. So off we went for a walk, and, you know, as normal, I thought we'll just go down the field. But this particular day, Telsa decided to slip the lead, and she ran towards Benny. One of my greatest fears that would have happened, but she actually did it this day, and she went racing over to Jim and Benny. And, of course, Benny was pulling Jim to get to Telsa, and the ultimate was he got pulled over. So he was pulled onto the floor. I was helpless because I was quite a way away. And Benny got away. Telsa was running with him, and they were both chasing each other, and there's nothing we could do. I went over to the owner, to Jim, and he wasn't very happy with me at all. In fact, he was really furious, you know, that I'd let Telsa off the lead. And I tried to explain that it was an accident, but, you know, he wasn't having any. But I just thought, well, that's how he is. And I tried to help him up. And by the time we looked over to see what was happening, Telsa and Benny were lying down. Telsa was licking him, and he was friendly with her. He was actually, I think for the first time in his life, being friendly and made friends with another dog. So Jim's face, it was amazing. I'd never seen a smile on this poor old man's face. He'd had Benny for 7 years and always had to keep away from everyone. And I don't think he was angry with people. He was just worried about what would happen if his dog got loose. And it was such a wonderful day, really, because after that, we were able to all go for a walk together. And everyone else got used to Benny and Jim, and he made a lot of friends, and so did the dog. So it was a wonderful day after such a traumatic start.
Isn't it fascinating how animals will perceive things, and if we're open to it, they'll let us know. My little Scotty Victor, when we're out walking him, if he sees anybody, he'll just sit down. You have to wait. Mm. You can't drag him. He's not going to move until that person that he sees, he has a chance to greet them. He's very much the gentleman. And these are things that once you become acquainted with your particular personality of the animal you have, they can open up so many things for you. It's just amazing. They often see and sense what we in our linear thinking are not willing to pay attention to. And I love these stories because it makes us aware that there is a sensory capacity with animals that's just absolutely phenomenal. Now, in your book, you used a word called caravan to describe what I think we'd call a trailer or maybe even an RV here in the United States, and you can educate me on this. But when you started getting into your work, where you were doing workshops and classes and various things, you talked about taking Telsa in your caravan. Is that like an RV, a portable trailer?
No, it was a static caravan. In fact, Donna, I had a few caravans all over the country because it was easier for me to have caravans to do my work in different parts of the country because it wasn't everybody that would take dogs in for bed and breakfast accommodation here. So I had a trailer. I had a sort of towing caravan, a trailer, and I had a big one as well to live in.
Amazing. All right. So I've just been educated on something that I had no awareness of. Thank you very much. Now, in your work, which is very metaphysical, you found that when you were working with people, that Telsa had a very sympathetic, empathetic association. She was quite comfortable with everything that you did and the people that you were interacting with. And you said, you go into how you became aware of her talents going into nursing homes. Now, here in the United States, it took a long time before they would allow animals in nursing homes because the general disposition of attitude was terrible, they're going to give disease, we don't want any animals. Well, finally, and I don't remember when this happened, maybe it started about 15, 20 years ago, people started bringing animals in, and whether it was a hamster or it was a dog or a horse. I interviewed someone that takes a horse into nursing homes. It's a little miniature pony. And it's amazing the effect that it had on the people. And with Telsa, she did what I've heard other people say about their animals. Telsa chose who she wanted to visit. How did she first demonstrate this to you?
Well, when I first went into the nursing home, Angela, a friend of mine, she was doing all the activity coordination for the nursing home, and she asked me to go in and do some healing. So I hadn't asked about Telsa going in officially. So when I went in, I went to the nursing staff and the matron, and I said, would it be all right to bring Telsa in? And she said, well, if you keep her on a lead, it'll be fine. You know, she's quiet, she'll be okay, and we'll let you take her in. Anyway, this particular day, again, Telsa slipped a lead and decided who she wanted to go to. And I was really bothered that they might throw us out, but the nurse didn't see. So Telsa would go to the people that didn't maybe look like they needed healing, but she felt they did need healing, and I could see the energy going from her into the patient. So I knew she was choosing her own people to heal. I could see what she was doing.
One of the people that Telsa saw that was with Angela, and this patient was very frightened of dogs, yet Telsa managed to open up the door to the room this patient was in, walked over to the patient, and then put her head on the patient's knee. And then the patient just started stroking. The fear about animals just went right out of her. And it was an amazing thing to see. And as you said, working with Telsa was anything but boring. And it was quite an eye-opener for you, and you just really were an observer in so many of these situations and looking at this marvelous interaction between the patients and Telsa. And this really created quite a change for these patients, didn't it?
Yes.
Now, for those of you tuning in, I'm talking with Rosemary Stevenson, who is in England. Her book is Telsa, The True Story of a Dog's Extraordinary Healing Powers. You found that Telsa had a vocation. Where did you take Telsa? And by the way, I want to bring in the fact your dog, your dog was very important to you, especially after your dad passed away. And not your dad, but your ex-husband, the father of your son Joe.
Yes.
That was quite a profound experience. Tell us what happened there.
Well, I'd been away. I'd been singing in Germany with a group. And I got home back to Manchester Airport after the concert. And my son rang me. And he could hardly speak. I could hardly hear what he was saying. He was trying to tell me that he thought his father had died. So I just said, right, I'm coming straight up. So I went to pick Telsa up from the dog minder, and I got in the car and went straight up to Newcastle because I knew that Telsa would do a lot more than I could do. I could comfort Joe. Yes, I could do all the things mums do with the sons, you know, under these awful circumstances. But I knew Telsa could get much closer. And when I arrived in Newcastle, when I arrived at the house, Joe took Telsa and went straight up to the room, and he was crying, but he got Telsa with him, and she was helping him from the beginning, as soon as we found out that he died.
Mm-hmm. Telsa was just an amazing dog. She would just, you have so many wonderful stories about her. One of them that was very touching was a story about a group of people. There were five of you, and this was relating to Laura. And this was a healing circle, if you will. And Telsa chose Laura to spend time with, and she always knew. She seemed to always know about the people that she was going to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And Laura, in that one meeting, her life was turning around. And then there was someone by the name of Peter. And Telsa, when she was around Peter, she actually stood up on her hind legs and put her front paws around Peter's neck. Now, a dog doesn't often do that.
No.
What was Peter's response?
Sorry?
What was Peter's response to that?
Well, Peter had known Telsa, you know, a little bit. He didn't know her well, but he'd come into this group, and he was mildly autistic, and he was in his 20s, and he was under a lot of stress with friends and trying to go to college, and, you know, he was under a lot of stress altogether, and he got a lot of back pain, and I wondered if he was going to last the day, and as soon as I did think that, I think Telsa must have picked it up telepathically, because she went to sit on his feet, and she sat with him for a few minutes, and you know, he was still a little bit stressed, he was getting a little bit calmer, but then she just got up and put her paws right around him, stood up on her hind legs, put her paws around his neck and just cuddled into him, and I think he was probably so shocked that he just got hold of her and cuddled her just the same, and she stayed there for a couple of minutes. And after, you know, after she'd done that, and when she came down again and sat down at his feet, he said that his back pain had gone and he felt so much better, and he lasted the rest of the day and the next day as well. So she did something that I wasn't sure what she did then, but it relieved his back pain, whatever it was.
You say, as you worked with Telsa, you say one of the things that we need to learn is that we need to allow ourselves to receive and give love in our everyday life. And when we can feel the flow, we can feel good about ourselves, and from there begin to feel good about others and about life in general. And it seems like Telsa often gave that gift to people. And it was totally non-discriminating. She didn't care whatever your life story might have been, it wasn't there. She was very present and very focused in the moment. And you found that because of being with her in 2004, you began a training course with the British Healers Association, the BHA, and it started with a conversation from the Croft Vets Clinic in Stoke-on-Trent. They wanted to incorporate healing into their practice. I think if you were to talk to most people, they'd say, well, vets are not even going to be interested in that. But this was quite a breakthrough. Why do you think that occurred?
I think, I was amazed. I was as amazed as anybody, and I thought it was so exciting that the vets wanted to do this healing with their patients, with their owners and the dogs. And the group of vets, the clinic, was two vets and a few of the staff that were in there as well. So it was only a small group. But when the new Telsa was in there as well, I don't know how they got hold of me. I think it must have been the angels, it must have been spirit, wanting Telsa to get bring her more forward in her healing profession. So they contacted me to do the healing, and they could see that Telsa was doing healing. They could see what she was doing as well, knowing dogs like they do, and other animals, they could see what she was doing. So we did a session at the veterinary clinic for healing with Telsa, and Telsa helped the students to heal other dogs and the owners at the same time. And some of them, which would have never been able to do anything like that, would never have been able to meet with another dog, or the owners wouldn't have had anything to do with another dog because they were frightened of upsetting their own dog. And amazing things happened. Amazing things happened with it. And the whole thing was just amazing to me, how it worked out. So I can't tell you exactly how it happened. It just did.
Mm-hmm.
How they got to me.
Telsa is a wonderful dog, and your book about her, I think so many of my listeners, who typically are big animal lovers anyway, would just really resonate with your book. Telsa just had an extraordinary journey. She brought so much into your life and into your son's life and into those that she spent time with. She is just a wonderful, wonderful personality, and you have a delightful poem that you wrote about her after she passed away. You were fortunate to have her for 11 years. And I think, because we know that our four-pod friends don't live as long as we do, it's always an empty part of ourselves that we're left with when they say goodbye. But you have a wonderful, wonderful story in here about after she passed. And I know we're just about out of time. Your website is CelestialLightHealers.com, CelestialLightHealers.com. The book is Telsa, The True Story of a Dog's Extraordinary Healing Powers, and that's T-E-L-S-A. Rosemary Stevenson has been my guest. Rosemary, this was wonderful. Telsa is such an incredible dog, and after reading your book, it just makes me even appreciate my own little four-pod friends that have been so significant in my life. And it just is so important we recognize the wonderful connection we have with other living creatures in life and how much they bring into our life experience. And they can be teachers, too. I want to thank you for being my guest today.
Oh, bless you. Thank you. I've really enjoyed it, Donna. Thank you very much.
It's been a joy. Rosemary Stevenson, if you're an animal lover, Telsa, the story of an extraordinary dog with extraordinary healing powers that touched the lives of so many. It'll touch your heart and your soul when you read it. Check out CelestialLightHealers.com. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Amino Muscle Snack Time, the chewable nutrition that feeds your muscles. Amino acids are the building blocks of protein. When you exercise, muscle tissue naturally breaks down. This low-cal, chewable snack helps to reverse that process and won't pack on the pounds. You can chew a few tasty vanilla tablets or any one of their other flavors before or after physical exercise, right before bedtime or first thing in the morning to jumpstart your metabolism into gear for the day. Convenient to carry in a purse, backpack, or briefcase, they are a tasty snack for the person on the go. Firm, fit muscles, trim, healthy body. Sound good to you? Check out Amino Muscle Snack Time Chewable Nutrition by going to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Tone up, trim up, and nourish your body to the fitness level you desire. Amino Muscle Snack Time Nutritional Tablets. Check out the information and order today. Go to Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Order now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Telephone lines are now open if you'd like to chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number. That is 888-627-6008. Well, I have a bunch of little tidbits that I want to share with you today. Again, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Sarah Wiseman. Her book is called Intuition, Cancer, and Miracles. We all know of someone that is affected by cancer. And just yesterday, I was having a conversation with someone at my local post office who had been diagnosed with cancer when she was 30 years of age. And now she's in her 60s, and she's got a very full and productive life. This woman, interestingly enough, is a nurse, and she was a nurse at the time that she was diagnosed. And we were talking about the different levels of awareness and what people can do and various causes for the condition, so on and so forth. So I think Sarah is going to have some good things to share with us. The Secret of Life Wellness by Ina Segal. Ina is a woman that has a philosophy about why it is so important we take care of ourselves, but also the steps that we can take to bring us to that point of self-awareness so that we can have full health. On Friday, we're going to have a Best of Donna show. There is something that I'm going to be doing. So if you did not hear Chris Adams, Requiem of a Spy, he's a Major General, U.S. Air Force, retired. I think you'll find this show on Friday absolutely wonderful. Fabulous book. Really is a gripper. So anyway, all of this is upcoming this week. I invite you to tell your friends and share some time with us because it is going to be a lot of fun. Now, I want to share something very frivolous with you. And again, the number, if you want to call in, is 888-627-6008. Lotto. How many of you have always wanted to win a lotto? Oh boy, when we hear the stories about an individual or groups of people that maybe bought an amount of tickets and all of a sudden they are winners, it's changing their lives. Well, there is a man, or actually, yeah, his name is Gail Howard of smartluck.com. He's analyzed all kinds of details regarding over 300 different lottery games worldwide. Yes, this is popular. I don't care where you are in the world. The game of chance is fascinating to a lot of people because there's always the hope you might be a winner. Have you ever observed people standing in line when they're ready to buy a lotto ticket? It's fascinating. You know, just stand there and just watch them. Look at their faces. Look at their body language. It's amazing stuff. Well, they say make sure you mix up numbers from various number groups, single digits, a number in the teens, the 20s, and so on. The odds of six winning numbers being drawn from one number group is highly unlikely. Now, I said it was a guy. It's not. It's a gal, Gail Howard.
And there, it has never happened. In all of her research, it's never happened, ever, that anyone has won a lotto game with numbers from the same group. And another point was, aim above 31. Now, she said a lot of players tend to bet their birthdays, anniversaries, and kids' ages, but most lotto games have upward of 50 or 60 numbers, which means numbers above 31 get chosen less often. Now, when the higher numbers do hit, the jackpot tends to be bigger since they're shared among fewer winners. That's a tantalizing thought. And ditch the neighbors. Now, what's that? I found that the most common set of numbers played in pick six lotto games, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, that's right. Those are the numbers that are typically picked. If you want to pick numbers that are in a neat little row like that, or 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, she says, don't do it. Less than 7% of pick six lotto drawings have even four neighboring numbers. And she said, as her last pick, if you add up the winning numbers in a 49 number, six pick lotto game, the most frequently occurring sum is 150. So going for a combo that adds up to 150 can give you an edge. And there is a fellow, Richard Lustig of winninglotterymethod.com. Yes, there's always someone that's going to tell you they can figure out the formula for you. He says, once you pick your numbers, play them consistently. Each time you change your numbers, your odds of winning start all over again. Well, isn't that the case? Every time you buy a new ticket, you're starting all over again? The desire to win the millions, it never goes away. This is a poem by Allie Smith. Outside, the leaves on the trees constricted slightly. They were the deep dun green of the beginning of autumn. Last night, I was having a conversation with someone up in Alaska, and fall is here in the Pacific Northwest. We're already seeing the turning of the leaves. And it's beautiful. It's just absolutely gorgeous to go out and walk about. And it's surprising to me that the leaves are turning as early as August, and here we are in September, because we've had such warm weather. But Mother Nature knows something we don't know. And it's just a feast for the eyes when you watch the changes that evolve with fall. And yesterday we had this golden glow in the forest that's behind where I have my office. It's just wonderful, and I look out over it from the second story, and it was illuminated with the golden light of the sun. It was like someone had airbrushed the trees in behind us with this luxurious, gleaming golden light. It was absolutely breathtakingly beautiful. And when you have those moments where you can see the play of light in nature and the effect on everything around you, it really is magical. So keep your eyes open and don't be afraid to get up early enough where you can see the sunrise, because it can have a tremendous impact on your life. Donna Siebel here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-627-6008. Now, for those of you in Western Washington, I want to let you know I am going to be doing an appearance, and also a speaking opportunity is going to be at the Emerald Spiral Expo in Kent, Washington. And this is going to be on September the 28th. It's a Saturday. The hours are 9 to 5. I'll be speaking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Of course, I'm going to be there, and I'm also going to be available for readings. I'm going to have all kinds of books with me. So if nothing else, just stop by and say hello, because I always enjoy interacting with people, and it's a lot of fun to be able to share information and details. And there's also going to be some free gifts that are going to be given out. We're going to be having some wonderful samples on the snack time information or product that you hear about on the show by Danny Torres. We're going to have some of that. We're also going to have some other items there in the booth, and I welcome you to come by, because those freebies will be available to you. If you're like me and you walk into your office and you just sigh and you go, oh my goodness,
how did all this paper get stacked up around me? You look at it and you say, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to clear it all out. If you, again, are like me, you don't find that you have 8 uninterrupted hours where you can just focus on getting rid of paperwork and taking care of what needs to be taken care of. You've got phone calls. You have clients you deal with. Maybe you've got work. But here's all this paper. For a paperless society, we seem to be drowning in it. And there was a term, paper procrastination, that someone shared, and I thought, paper procrastination. Hadn't heard that combination of words before. Well, we need to make it okay to get rid of it. We really do. I have a friend that decided anything that was important, he was going to, because he had just been inundated with paper. He had closets, boxes filled with documents. And so what he did, he used the scanner on his computer, and he said, now it's all up in the cloud. That's right. He's put it all up in the cloud. Well, there's some documents you're not going to be able to do that with. That's not a smart thing to do. But it is a great way if you have extra stuff and you're concerned, instead of keeping the paper, as long as it's not particular legal documents, and even then you can, you know, scan those in just to make sure you got a copy of it somewhere. But you need to go through it and don't worry about stuff that's been around. There's a time and a place for everything. Your scanner can be your best friend. And again, you can load stuff up, set up your file folders electronically, and let it go into the cloud. Now, one of the things you need to remember, any financial document, anything that has your Social Security number, et cetera, you do not want to put into an electronic format that perhaps can be broken into. You want to be very wise here. And I was talking with a friend of mine who is really a techie. I'm not, but she is. And she said, this is really something that a lot of corporations are doing, trying to relieve the massive amount of paperwork that they've got. It's always good to remember that when you're copying documents, especially if they are relating to something of the past that has a legal aspect to it, especially if you've had your own company, things like this, you may want to be sure that you keep some of those documents, let's say, for 20 years. It sounds sort of silly, but check with your accountant and find out what you can keep and what you can get rid of. And boy, I know my shredder, after the first of the year, or I should say often after tax time, I go in and I'll even purge certain tax documents after, let's say, 10 years. I'll keep them on file and then I can purge them. But if you wanted to, you could make copies of everything, put it in a files folder up in the cloud somewhere or on your computer, and then you're going to have it. And what's one of the biggest areas for clutter? The kitchen. Yes. I mean, kitchen counters are a clutter magnet. Boy, can I relate to that one. But I think my desk in my office is a clutter magnet, too. Usually I have gobs of books because I'm always reviewing material for the show. That's a lot of paper, believe me. Now, if you're not sure that something is tossable, she said, this woman that made these comments, which I think is just really, really good, Dorothy Brenninger was her name, or is her name, she said, give yourself a 2 rule. If a newspaper is more than 2 days old, toss it. If a catalog is more than 2 months old, off the recycle bin it goes. If you want to save an article in a paper, grab a pair of scissors, cut it out, and you're whittling stuff down. And it is amazing. That really does work. But you have to be mindful, and you have to have a place where you want to keep those articles, and that requires some kind of a filing system. And she said, piles. I used to have a lady that helped me in the house, and she was so good at making piles. I used to be just amazed. And she said, yep, I learned how to do this a long time ago. And I'd come in, and everything would be tidy. I said, how'd you manage to do that? But she did. She put stuff in piles. Medical papers in one pile, you know, stuff maybe with your kids for the classroom stuff in another pile, and use sticky notes. Those are great if you do it. But put them in a location where you're going to be consistent with it. And there's a gal, Lisa, she said, women are typically multifaceted, multifunctional, but my goodness, we have all kinds of stuff lying around. So she has what she calls her Sunday basket. When she gets something that doesn't need immediate attention, like a birthday party or whatever, she sticks it in the Sunday basket. And then at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, this is what she does. She goes through it. She looks at it. Does this need action now? Can it wait until next week? Whatever I need to pay attention to, she said it's right there. And paper clips are great, too, if you want to keep your notes in place. But she said, that's what I do. And she said, it's just moving it on and doing it quickly. Oh, my goodness. I think there will always be super suggestions, but I don't know that the paper clutter is ever going to go away. But maybe we can manage it a little bit better. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 888-627-6008. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. When we come back, I'm going to have some fun stuff. How about your fall astrological horoscope? Sagittarius, Cancer, and Leo? What do you think? Well, when we come back, I'll share a little bit of that with you. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back in just a moment.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Good health is something all of us want to have. Being aware of what we eat, its nutritional value, and how to balance our physical needs with our busy schedules is always a challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time goes a long way towards helping us meet this challenge. Amino Muscle Snack Time is a nutritional food product that is portable, tasty, and in chewable tablet form, vanilla and honey flavors, a bonus for maintaining a healthy amino acid balance for healthy muscles. Amino Muscle Snack Time can be used anytime, anywhere, first thing in the morning to kickstart your metabolism. Take 20 minutes before or after a workout to help recover and build muscle. Take mid-morning or mid-afternoon to help curb cravings for unhealthy snacks. Weight loss, appetite control. Only top of the line and no genetically modified ingredients are used, no caffeine added. These chewable tablets can be ordered through Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com. Take charge and jumpstart your food program by adding Amino Muscle Snack Time by visiting Amazon.com or SquatSponge.com for more information. Order now.
Hello, this is Donna. Welcome back. Okay, let's have a little fun here. How about your 2013 fall horoscope? Now, this is lighthearted stuff. Those of you born under the sign of Sagittarius, oh my goodness, you're just such a loving person. You have this outgoing nature. You really do love people, and your home is so important to you. You want it to be a nurturing environment, and of course, your family is extremely important to you. And some of you are going to be dealing with some older members of family that may require that you give them more attention. But you know what? Your family unit is so important to you that you want to make sure that those that are older are able to feel wanted and needed, and those that are younger are around the older people. And I think that this is marvelous. So home is very important to you at this time of the year. Now, you are really going to need to pay attention if you are wanting to make a career shift or a career change. You need to understand yourself. You need to be aware of what you really like and what you don't like. You need to focus on your strengths, not your weaknesses. So if you're feeling sort of on the fence and you just don't know, gee whiz, I need to make money, I need to do this, that, or the other, be more true to yourself and look into environments that maybe you've never explored before. This is a time for you to break away from what perhaps you have felt was the image that you were supposed to fulfill. Understand, explore yourself, invest in yourself, and as a Sagittarian, you're just going to blossom. You really, really are. And you know what? Being willing to shift into something new is going to have a tremendous transformational effect on your life. So this this is very, very important to you. Now, for those of you born under the sign of Cancer, well, loving is just a part of your personality. You've got a big heart. You really enjoy meeting new people. And I think that there's a part of you that really wants to find out how you can understand people even better, for those of you under the sign of Cancer. And there looks to me to be a greater opportunity for you to mix socially. And just be curious about people. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Also, use your library. If you're interested in psychology, if you're interested in information on human behavior, open yourself up to going to your local library, your favorite bookstore, and peruse through material. Realize that this is a natural, intuitive part of yourself, and it's so comfortable for you once you become familiar with it. Now, when it comes to money, now you may like to think big, but you're really going to have to look at how you're going to manage your money. If you desired to be a millionaire, well, what steps could you take to get there? Don't worry about the lottery. You need to really pay attention to the practical side of life. And if you have a challenge with that, being under the sign of Cancer because your emotions seem to rule you more than they should, then what you want to do is be aware, seek out individuals that are really grounded, that are really down to earth, that can help you be aware of choices that you can make that methodically can allow you to reach that level of financial independence that you really want. And you know what? You are going to find that your thoughtfulness and your generosity is going to be so much appreciated. You really have a big heart. And this fall, if you should decide you want to support a food bank or you want to do an animal marathon of some kind, whatever it is that really moves you, that you really feel strongly about, just know you're appreciated. And so what you put out is going to come back to you a thousandfold. Moving on to Leo, you're up front and center. You really have many times a wisdom about the real world that other people may not want to look at. And you don't hesitate to share your information and your opinions to others. I would say just temper them. Be wise. Learn how to use your words effectively and well. You don't have to be so blunt that you're offensive, but you do have to be clear in how you express yourself. Now, you're going to need to pay attention to money. You're going to find that if you have been frugal, which is not typically a Leo's nature, but if you have been frugal and you've been consistent in your frugality, you're going to have a nice little cash store. Don't let someone convince you that you need to spend it. Be wise. Spend your time learning how to work with money effectively, and I think that you then can reach that point where you will have the amount of money that you want in the right way. Also, don't second-guess yourself. Trust yourself more, especially when it comes to long-term goals, because you are going to be able to achieve them. Whether it is losing weight, building a business, traveling around the world, it doesn't make any difference. You are going to be able to achieve it because that which is within you has a persistence and a determination that stands you in good stead. My goodness, this is Donna Siebel. How did we get by this hour so fast? It just goes by like the wind. But I'm so delighted that you've been able to share your time with me. And remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. More and more, I get concerned as I hear so many people making comments about, oh, we don't have choice. Oh, my goodness. I don't have any meaning, really, as far as accomplishing anything. It really is important for you to understand how significant you are as a human being. Your actions, your thoughts, they have an impact. We had a guest today that talked about her dog, Tulsa. Every living form of life has an impact, and you are an expression of something very, very special. So invest in yourself, invest in your education, expand your world so that you can see how whatever you're doing makes a difference. And you'll say, well, I'm just involved with my family and my community. It's very important. You may have a chance someday to communicate on other levels. Look at how many people are communicating today via social networking. You make a difference. You're important. And I'm so delighted you've shared your time with me. Won't you join me tomorrow? We're going to be talking with a woman who has walked a path of experience that we wouldn't wish on anyone. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You've been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. We're delighted that you were able to join us and invite you to tell your friends and family about the program. Have a wonderful day.